Let's go ahead and let's pray for today's message. And I hope you have your bulletin card and your Bible ready to go. So, Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. We're grateful for the things you're going to be speaking to us. We're asking you right now, Lord, move in and among us like you already have. But, Lord, each of us need a little takeaway. We need something that will really help us. And you are our only hope and our only help in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, we've been in a series through the fall. That series is entitled Messy to Manageable. Life can be messy, but we have been so encouraged because the way with which all of you have been expressing things like, okay, I see that just life in general, because we live in a broken society, and to make matters a little more challenging, we ourselves are broken people. So when you get those two agencies going, you realize it could be a little bit challenging. Heard a cute story about a pastor preaching a very long message. And at the end of church service, the people were filing out, not saying a word about the message. Poor guy, huh? Poor guy. But there was one person that was very nice and always commented on the sermon. Came up and said, "Pastor, your sermon today reminded me of the peace and love of God." Oh, the pastor was so excited. He said, "Oh, why? Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, it reminds me of the peace of God because it surpassed understanding. And the love of God because it endured forever." Well, we're going to make this rather quick. We're going to certainly do that. But I wanted to highlight, if you can, and please go ahead and make notes, would you, there in the back of your bulletin. We're still a part of Life Group. And let's just believe God's going to be speaking to you about something today. Today's message is entitled The Messiness of Serving. The Messiness of Serving. I like the culture of Hope Chapel because it's a remarkable place. A vast majority of us are serving in some capacity. And when an event turns up, then you're always looking for some place to give a helping hand. I want to thank you for that. But you and I need to be reminded that there's times that serving is not perfect. The interactions with people certainly can be quite messy. And there's still an area where maybe there's just not the joy in doing serving like we know. And that's why this message is coming today, that there's a messiness in serving. We need to remind ourselves, why is serving messy? That's on our notes. You can see it right there. Let's take a look at the first point. Serving involves risk. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Make sure you write that down as well, because you may want to compare it with your translation. But it says, "It is impossible to please God without faith." Now, we could probably stop right there, but it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Let's go on and just complete the whole verse. "Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him." I know that wouldn't be very appealing to any one of us if somebody never came to us because they never really thought we would be generous or compassionate. God is generous. He is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. That's a good thing. But let's check it out. It's impossible to please God. Now, you've heard me from time to time say that faith and risks are synonymous. That first point is serving involves risks. So when we take a look at the word faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're dealing with that term faith. It is not just the expression of some belief system or cognitive belief understanding, like if I believe enough, things are going to start to move. Faith is actually an action. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, people are doing something. James said, hey, you have faith and I've got works. You go ahead and try to show me your faith without your works, and I'm going to show you I've got faith because of what I'm doing. That's an important statement. So when we take a look at faith, it takes risk to step out there and start to serve. Some serving will require risk. Why? Well, what if I volunteer and I can't do it well? That's a risk. What if I volunteer? People say they don't like me doing this. That's a risk. What if I show up and all of a sudden I become fearful and anxious? All of those are risks in serving. So when we take a look at this first point, serving involves risks. It's important for us. Today's Sunday edition of our newsletter, it had a serving opportunities button. If you hit that button, you'll see the service opportunities here at Hope Chapel. And there is room for everybody in every dimension here in this church. There's no reason why. There's a joy that we get a chance to jump on in there. But serving is messy because it creates this internal struggle about what if I do and it just doesn't go right. That's just that element of messiness. I remember when I was 19 and invited by my big brother, six years older than I am, 19, Paul, you need to join Royal Rangers and become a Royal Ranger commander. What is that, Bob? Do I get to carry a sidearm? I'm all in. That sounds great. Get to wear a uniform, Paul. And basically, it's a Boy Scouts version with a Christian emphasis. And I did that for 5 years. It was pretty powerful, but totally messy because I'm dealing with 9 to 12-year-olds. But I saw the Holy Spirit move among boys. I saw the Holy Spirit fall on them in such a way that over 400 of them around a campfire one night started speaking in tongues and falling to the dirt. That was a move of God, and I said, this is a program I want to be a part of. But it takes risks to be a part of that. I found when I said yes to something, I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be everybody's daddy. I got a life to live. But I found that I started hearing from God. A case in point, I remember when we did cliff rappelling, and we had the older boys with us. And I had a group of 5 boys away from the cliff because my brother and his first group were learning how to rappel off the side of a mountain slope. They looked like they were having a good time, but I didn't care. I wasn't having any instruction. I'm over here at the picnic table slapping high fives and cutting jokes and goofing around and running around with the boys. I was 19. And then all of a sudden the instructor said, Paul, move you guys on into the cliff. Whoa, man. My ears were perked. I leaned over that cliff and the hot thermals are coming up. Ooh, I got a little woozy. And I, man, hey, coach, what do we need to do, Mr. Instructor? Some people, their whole goal is to live as far away from the edge so there's no risk, so they be as comfortable as they possibly can. Man, serving involves risks, and that risk really dictates, really shares, it's all about faith. Number two, serving involves experimentation. Why do I say that? Well, let's take a look here, because the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians 12 how that we all have something to bring to the group. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Same God's working in all. You saw it today. It's like, man, that was just a bunch of people saying, do you think that? God uses people.
Yes, sir.
We're so privileged. He could probably bring a 9-foot angel, but he asks you and me to be a part of the program. And he says, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And we take a look here. God has given everyone the opportunity. Now, how do you know what your gift is? That's why we use the word experimentation. Just experiment. Just step on out there and try a little bit. Just find out what really kind of rolls in your direction. Just try to see what you can do. It's amazing to me. It's kind of like the young couple or individual that says, I want to buy my first home. I can hardly wait. And their desire is, I want a home just like mom and dad have, though they busted their tail for 40 years at it. I want it right now, today. And they don't want to kind of work their way up. Maybe have that 2-bedroom, 1-bath with no plumbing. So you can see here when people say, well, I just want the best message and the best spot. Well, let's see, just by experimenting, it's very important. I remember, again, when we started, just moved from the Catholic Church into this four-square church, just like ours, Azusa, I was going to Bible college, and I did not know a thing. But I decided, I felt the Lord says, you need to be a part of that little congregation on Azusa Boulevard right across the street from In-N-Out. I said, that's a good calling. By the 210 freeway. All my other colleagues in Bible college were going to the big boy church, Church on the Way, Christian Assembly in Eagle Rock, Pasadena Four Square Church, man, Santa Clarita, big, booming congregations in the thousands. Those guys got some great messages, but they never were asked to do much of anything. They sat in on Sunday. I'm being asked to do everything. I mean, I did everything. I didn't want to do everything. Now it benefited you that I'm there cleaning toilets, and at the age of 22, I'm on the church council. What am I doing on the church council? So you could see here, just starting off, and then I became the junior high pastor. And then I got married, and I guess that qualified me for high school ministry. So Ainsley, I guess we're now the high. And all of that volunteer for 9 years, just saying yes to Jesus. I'm so glad I did. Experimenting and seeing where that is. I want everybody to be a pastor, but you really need to be called to be a pastor because it'll be quite a rocky road. But you understand what I'm saying. Experiment. Why don't you go be a pastor? See if you like it. But it's important. Number three, serving involves working with others. How many know that could be messy? Everybody say messy. Messy. Yeah, because broken people, working with other broken people, everybody say messy. On that one, definitely. That's going to be messy. You're working with people. And look what Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 has to say. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Wow, that sounds good. That's so much easier said than done. In my over 40 years of serving, of service, over 40 years, I've seen many very painful and disappointing serving experiences with other people. A lot. I could go into detail on that. People that just are not loving, people that are not very agreeable, simply rejecting the exhortation of Philippians 2:2. It's very hard. It's a part of serving Jesus, but when people value their own opinions above love or unity, how many know that could be messy? And it really does separate the big boys from the little hirelings. I didn't sign up for this. This is too hard. It's difficult, but I want you to know Hope Chapel's not like what I just described. It's important for us to recognize that. Some of you might sign up for something. You don't get a call. Say, no response. Well, that can be messy. Maybe somehow you turn your children into the checking and it just seemed like people were kind of not very friendly. That could be messy. Those are messy things, working with people. It's kind of how that is. You sacrifice a tremendous amount of time and don't get appreciated. That's part of the messiness. And thank you for recognizing the pastoral staff at Ainsley Mean. Or you sacrifice time and other priorities and you show up on time, you're ready to go, and you have team members that totally blow their responsibility, don't even show up. Those are messy times. It's out there. That's how it rolls. But man, I want to be true to what God's asking me to do. Everybody say messy. Yes. That's just the way society is. I wish our world was together and perfect, but we're following the one who is. Number four, serving involves time. Check it out with me, Matthew. Chapter 6, verse 33. This is our reference verse for this year's theme. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I like that. Well, if the kingdom of God is going to have this kind of priority in our lives, you and I need to reevaluate our time slot. And that alone could be messy. That's a mess in itself. Because you and I know that we have very limited time, and time is one of our scarcest commodities, but we all have the same amount of time. But that's just a very real thing, and we have to be careful about that. I find it worth noting that a non-serving Christian, a non-serving follower of Jesus Christ is a contradiction to that title. You can maybe be a believer in God, but if you're going to follow Jesus, it's got to apply to serving. He said, that's all I'm out to do. I didn't come to be served. Man, I came to serve. And if it requires, and it did, I'm going to give my life away. A ransom for many. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? What a privilege we have. I just love Jesus. If I can be anything like Jesus, it would probably be in the capacity of serving. That's where it's at. And nowadays, I have to really find places to serve because God has so enriched our lives. The 9 years of volunteering completely, not even getting a stipend, now we're getting paid. Ains and I have to actually look for the extra, like scrubbing the toilet or helping somebody that didn't expect it. Because I want some rewards in heaven. Everything else is kind of coming our way. It's like, whoa, life is good. But I want to do things of unexpected. I call it the second mile. Yes, sir. I want to go the second mile. I want to surprise somebody. So serving's important. So here's the messy truth about it. Telling God we're too busy to serve doesn't really give us the get out of serving free card. It just can't. There's no way. How can we tell God that? For many believers, they use the term busyness as a spiritual trump card. Be careful about that. Because God calls us to serving. So in following him means we're going to serve. But there's messiness in that. So next line, how do we follow Jesus through the messiness of serving? Let's just take a look at that. I sure like to be encouraged, and you encourage me, but it's very helpful to follow with others who are in it, that are going forward. Number one, commit to a lifestyle of serving. Check out Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Do you have it there at home? Would you join us? Make sure. It says, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Now look at that verse for a moment. Look what Jesus has done. When we take a look at that, he gave his life for us. We know that. Then he cleanses us from every kind of sin. That's what my Bible says. And then he calls us his sons and daughters. Oh my. Oh, and the follow-through would be, I'm going to commit. That's what the verse says. Totally committed to doing good deeds. So the line is committed to a lifestyle of serving. Now, I know there are certain things in young Christians, regardless of physical age. You know me, there are certain things I will overlook in an immature, newborn Christian that sometimes we just won't tolerate in a mature Christian because they know better. But the joy of it is in a mature Christian is that they start to realize Jesus is just not only for them in a selfish approach. That it's kind of like, okay, Jesus, no longer is it what can you do for me, but Jesus, what can I do for you? That's a mature statement. That's what we're talking about. It's a lifestyle. It's powerful. Serving is a lifestyle. And we'll see opportunities. God will open your eyes and understanding. It's really great. And not just in church here. We there's a lot of neat things that are happening here, and people are bringing their friends in, and they're hoping you'll touch them and help them and encourage them on with God and talk over Scripture with them, because that doesn't happen at work. That's not going to happen in the public campuses of our school. They hope they get Jesus and the Word here by you. But what if they never come? And God says, why don't you just go into your own neighborhood? Woo-hoo. Wouldn't that be great? Serving as a lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
Not just on a given weekend. It's powerful. I like that a lot. Number two, discover your God-designed gift or gifts. Let me take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. In Ephesians, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. I like that, don't you? I believe that. I believe it's so important that we take care of people, even if they're not regenerated by Jesus yet. Because God died for that person, you and I should hold them in such high esteem. Be careful. Be careful. But let's go back. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So I like it that we're God's handiwork, uniquely created to really put together some form of a masterpiece. It'd be helpful that you and I discover what that is. Let me give you three ways. You know, we've done everything from OSL level 5. There's the shapes we've done before. But I like it for the sake of this. Maybe this could be your only takeaway, but write it down. Three areas to find that design God's given you. Number one, what do you like to do? That's pretty good. Number two, what do you do well? A lot of us would like to do things, but, man, we could destroy that sucker. But what do you do well? And then three, what do people actually say? You know what? When you do that well. So what do you want to do? What do you do it well? And then what do people affirm saying, you know, thank you. You did that very well. That's important. So when we take a look here, let's look at number three, reprioritize your time. In Philippians, again, chapter 2, verse 3, talks about this. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. In other words, you get it. I get it. Don't be self-absorbed. Don't keep focusing on your own self-interest. That's really what the Bible is trying to say. Stop living only for yourself. Now, there's the only way to really do that is to have Jesus touch our heart and realize, because He's done so much for me, what can I do for you, Lord, to tell others the cool stuff that is now available for them? He's no respecter of persons. What He's done for Paul Harmon, He will do for you. He will. So it's important when we take a look at that, but how? How do we go about doing that? Because it's going to require investing of our time, and you know that's very limited. I'd like to just make mention, here it is, if you want to write it down, make serving a time priority, not an optional one. You have to set that in there somewhere. You have 2 hours a week? Well, I would start there. You watch how God will download. Remember that old cliff repelling? The closer you get to start serving and representing Jesus, you will hear Him. Somebody asks you to give a testimony, man, we get on our knees and start saying, Lord, I don't know what to say. And He starts to tell you. So we start hearing and start seeing. Make it a priority. Number two, say no to good things in order to say yes to the best things. We're not talking about good versus evil here. There's a lot of good things we get ourselves involved with. But there could be some of the best things in your life we haven't been able to fit into. So there's a lot of good things I've said no to in my life. I wouldn't ask anybody to say no to just random whatever, because God has to show you that. But I'm just saying, say no to those good things, because there's a better thing out there. And I'm telling you, for so many of us, sending on our acknowledgement and our rewards into glory is so important. I want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Yeah. So my life agenda is basically this. I have determined that I am going to seek God through humble service and continual prayer and raise up qualified disciples as quickly as I can so that one day I might hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my life goal. That's it. Just through humble service and continual prayer. Lord, what's and who's the next person out there? And then number three, be aware of cultural expectations on your time rather than biblical ones. All of us have a culture out there that would say possibly, you know, if you could make a little more money and forsake possibly your own health, then that really looks good. Productivity, busyness, ooh, you're something. That's a culture out there. Be careful about that. The sacrifices we make on our career. Just be careful the choices you make. That's all I'm saying. You may have to say no to a good thing in order to say yes to the best thing God is really saying. I feel for families out there. The expectation in society to get our children into sports, even into kindergarten. So now they have weekend activities and all kinds of things because we feel the culture shifting and pushing us, and we have no time because there's practice involved. God can show us that. That's all. Because the goal is, what's that best thing? You and I can determine that. And number four, let Jesus have ownership of your life. Let Jesus have ownership. I like this verse. We'll bring this down to a conclusion. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you know that? That could be a revelation to some. We start hearing God tell us, oh, do the good thing, even though it sounds like our mind and imagination, but you know it's God because it's really a good thing that you thought about. It said, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. I think it's worth noting that there's a radical change that comes to our thinking when we recognize Paul Harmon really doesn't belong to Paul Harmon. I really have a good life, and I'm so glad Jesus is in it, but I don't belong to myself. I may belong to Ainsley and whatever she says, but whatever Jesus wants, it's very important. But the tension exists because the messiness starts to happen when I start to take ownership of my life again. See, that's the emphasis. Have Jesus be part of your life and let him own that life. The exaggerated element that happens to us, saying, if I give my life, what's going to happen? What will become of me? What will happen to our family? What will happen to our income stream? Oh, the tension, it's messy. It's absolutely messy. But if Jesus owns you and what he's provided for you, I think he's going to take a good deal of time taking care of you. So the spiritual truth is, I've been bought as a price, so have you. So if Jesus is the guest in your life, then, you know, you're going to really kind of call out your own shots. But if he owns your life, then you're going to say, you've heard me say often, there's two things often I will say in my life. Lord, I choose you today. Every morning, I choose you today. What is it you have? Often I'll even say, I choose my wife today too. Choose my family. But Lord, what is it that you have for me today? And then how does that work? Let me wind it down. Remember we prayed off our El Salvador team. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Said, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So do you realize who decided this? Do you realize actually who sent these guys on their way? That's pretty powerful. God is calling us, just sampling sometimes those little steps. It's a big deal. But I'm sure glad we get a chance to talk about the messiness in serving. It really is. I wish it was going to be perfect. I wish, oh my. But don't give up. There's great, great joy that comes to our hearts because we serve the Lord. This coming month of November, we're calling it our team members or service team members appreciation month. We would maybe say volunteer appreciation month. But our team leaders will be thanking our volunteers this month coming in November. We're so grateful. We really are. All of you, we believe, one day will get a chance to see you stand before Jesus and receive your praise from him. But in the meantime, anything that'll keep us to say, "Thatta boy, way to go, young lady, keep going strong for God." Well, let's stand to our feet. Let me pray for you. Let's sing a song, and we'll close off this service. What a great day. Thank you for acknowledging our service once again to Jesus. But Father, thank you. When we talk about just serving, talk about giving, wow, you really open up the windows of heaven. You are a giver, and you get so excited when we give. Thank you for giving, Jesus. For God so loved us in this room that you gave your only begotten Son. So Lord, if those who are here feeling distant from God, it's like, what is this all about? Then Lord, move in our hearts right now to say, Lord, if you're real, I choose you, Jesus. Show yourself real to me this week. Pray that over these individuals and you who are at home. For those who have Jesus in our life, Lord, we're sure sorry when we get really kind of seduced into society again, become somewhat carnal in our approach to you. Lord, let the blood of Jesus wash us clean. We know there's great mercy and forgiveness. And Lord, help us. We don't want anyone, we know, to be overlooked and not hear the good news of God's love through Jesus. Lord, thank you. We present ourselves to you afresh. Lord, you'll speak to us this day and through this week. There are things for us still to do. The rapture has not happened yet, and you're delaying that so that no one perishes. So speak, Almighty God, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's sing, shall we? I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.